Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to the podcast. Marto, Margot, comedian Brett Blake is still here. It's the Big Breakfast, and I will just mention this is the first podcast available on the brand new Listener app.
L-I-S-T-N-R.
Can you explain to us, Dave, what it is? Because, I mean,
designed
even though,
to cure cancer,
even
Margot,
though we work
what an
here,
app is,
we have no idea what Listener is.
It's your one-stop shop for radio, podcasts, just audio in general. There's great music specials. Some have compared it to like the Netflix of audio.
Can you order food off it? Is it like a delivery service?
Free? I don't know if they've no food's
it's
involved.
Audio nourishment. That's what it is.
There you go. Food for your ears.
So we've got the full food pyramid on our podcast today. We've got carbos,
so you can listen to Triple M Live.
Is
you can
Triple
listen
M
to our podcast.
Gone. That's not
the they're phasing it out.
Oh.
Okay. Listener is the place to be.
Let me go through the food groups that were on the show today, and I'll tell you what the topic is. You tell me whether it's a carbohydrate, a protein, or a sugar.
Righto, I'm ready.
Where's one here? Brett, what did your pet drag in? That was Brett brought it on board.
That's
what was
a protein.
That's a protein.
Because it was a rat.
Yeah.
Livestock in your lounge room.
Protein.
My thought on sport. What's that? Just sugar.
Sugar. It was sweet, baby.
A bit of sweet on top.
We're talking about Prince Philip.
Sour.
Sugar.
Old.
That's carbs.
That's a cheese.
Fish and
chips.
The fish
cheese.
And chip shop accident.
Bit of carbs.
Bit of salt. Yeah. That's
energy.
Salt.
A lot of energy.
I don't know.
Starch.
I just love
sugar.
Carbs.
All right, that's enough.
I'm just going to say
there's
carbs.
Lots coming up.
Yeah, shit you.
Enjoy.
Guys, I heard this on the news last night.
An escaped cow runs into a crowded hospital waiting room and causes chaos. The terrified people run to a corner for safety, but the cow, seemingly equally terrified, follows them.
So classic. I thought we'd do this.
Cows and horses, goats and sheep, livestock in your house.
A cow, a random cow found itself in a hospital.
Did it do the QR code on the way in? Because you know how hospitals
hand
are these
sanitizer.
Days.
Was it wearing a face mask?
Who sanitizer?
Who do you call in this situation? Do you call the cops or the local butcher?
Cowbusters. The local butcher.
I love the local butcher. Get this out of here. Hey, last time we brought this up, Blakey, it went nutto. It's for our semi-rural folk.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
who live 10 acres.
There are plenty of people that live on the outskirts of Brisbane on some acreage, and they love a little bit of livestock. I've had pigs. Yep. I had two pigs and may or may not have left the bifold doors open and said pigs wandered into the lounge room.
I've even got one. I lived in suburbia and we're too lazy to cut the grass, so we all chipped in and got a goat. But goats the only thing it ate was my jocks.
Goats are the funniest because they jump up on anything, especially cars.
They're destructive.
We found out sheep were great, peacocks. It was actually, have you got a
peacock?
Yeah, here's some of the calls we had last time we did this.
I've come home and I open up the door and I've got 2 miniature goats and 20 chickens in the house. Goats can open the back door.
Yeah.
I had a beautiful blonde cow named Cassie, as in casserole. I come home from work one day. The husband is watching TV in the lounge.
Yes.
And has walked through my sliding door, standing behind him watching TV in my lounge.
Oh, it's always a bit of fun.
Emus in laundries, they're all over the joint. So we thought, no one will ever ring. So let's do it again, Dave. Give it one more.
1-333-53. We want to hear when you've had
livestock in your house.
Not just livestock, big bird, like any animal that's not a pet.
Any animal, not that, you know, it doesn't have a collar and a name tag on it.
Snakes. I want to hear snake stories.
No thanks.
Yeah. Big Breakfast, Triple M. We're doing livestock in your house. So if you've had a goat in your garage or sheep under the sheets, 1-333-53.
Cows and horses, goats and sheep, livestock in your house.
On Triple M.
Well, a cow found his way into a hospital. And so I thought, we haven't done this for a while. We'll bring it back because generally for our listeners that live in the outer suburbs of Brisbane on a bit of acreage,
semi-rural.
This can sometimes be a real problem
you
for them.
You leave a door open, they take the invitation fairly easily, don't they?
They certainly do. Keith from Narangba, good morning.
Narangba, classic Keith.
How are you guys? Yeah, mate, I live on 40 acres.
Yeah, what are you
doing? Beautiful.
Well, I've got a low-set house and, as usual, I left the bloody sliding door open.
Yeah, exactly.
And the old girl's quarter horse wandered in the bedroom and down the hallway and I didn't know. And I come wandering in the bedroom round strength, bang, straight up the arse of a quarter horse in the hallway, which was great.
What happens next?
Well, you've got to try and get the bloody thing out. So I went round to the other door and come in the front and the old girl was there and she freaked out. So we backed her up the hallway and... turned around in the bedroom and she decided she'd walk over the king-size waterbed to get out.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Now, it didn't leave any fertiliser on your carpets, did it, champ?
No, mate. Thank but it God. Walked straight across the waterbed to get out the bedroom door, eh?
What happened? Did it slice the bed open or anything?
Not at all. You would not believe it. Never even busted it. Never put a leak in it or nothing. So I said the old girl.
It's good advertising.
Yeah. Also, who still owns a waterbed? Yeah. What are you, a swinger?
Keith and the old girl.
Keith is a swinger. Neil from Basin Pocket, good morning.
Hello.
Neil, how are you?
All right.
Yeah, good. Hello. Livestock in your house. Yep. What happened? We heard about the cow in the hospital. What was your experience?
I was looking after my parents' dogs while they were on holidays. Maybe lucky bit. And the horses inside the lounge room.
Well, did you know the horse very well?
Yeah. It's my parents' horse, but it was meant to be in its own little pen up the back.
How did it get in the house, Neil?
It's called the stable, isn't it, Neil?
Yeah. Oh, I'm a country rinser. Cows and horses,
goats and sheep, livestock in your house. Need to lift the energy a bit. Yeah, okay. What did we find out there? Semi-rural people are relaxed.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Gather around, everybody. Keep it close. Blakey, this is sort of for you, but everyone needs to know it. In 1823, at a place called the Rugby School, northwest of London in Northampton, a guy called William Webb Ellis got sick of playing friggin' soccer. He went, this is boring, it's stupid. He picked up the ball and started running with it and ran all the way to where the goals were and put the ball down and said, what about that? And they said, nice try, and rugby was born.
Is that how it started?
1823. 1823, so it went on there for about 70 years. And then it became very popular, rugby union. They said, what, you're allowed to smash people? This is unreal. So the little kiddies kept on playing soccer. The bigger kiddies started running into people going, how good is this? It was huge, okay? But in about 1897, there was a group of coal miners at the north, around Birmingham, around Manchester. They were loving their rugby union, but they kept on breaking fingers and hurting themselves, couldn't turn up for work in the mine on the Monday. And their union representative said, hold on, this is stupid. Well, you've got to pay this if you want to, you know, you're playing this game on the weekend. Look at all these people who are going to the bar. They're at the game. Why can't you start paying these people? And the rugby union, the rugby football union, they said, of England, they said, no, this is a gentleman's sport. And I will quote, well, I've written it down somewhere. If men cannot afford to play, then they shouldn't play at all. And that's what they said. And that's when rugby league was born, 1897, up in the north of England. They said, well, we're going to get our own sport then. And they dropped off two players, 15 became 13. Instead of stupid scrums, they had play the ball after each, you know, instead of having rucks and mauls, they'd play the ball. They made the game faster. Became tremendously exciting. But here in Australia, 1906, 1905, it was still going, rugby union was still the big game. 50,000 people still going to these matches. But there was a guy called Dally Messenger. He was the number one rugby union player in Australia in 1906, 1907. And late 1907, the new game of rugby league said, hold on, grab him and we'll be right. So they started paying how much time I got, Dave?
You've got 1 minute.
Oh, Jesus. Righto. That's when the game started in Australia. And from there, it just went nuts. Because everyone went, oh, thank God, those rucks and mauls are so boring. Rugby union remained amateur until 1996. My career finished in 1993. Very unfortunate, okay? There was still some sneaky stuff going on, okay?
Cash in hand type business. Have a bit of this, have a bit of that.
But it stayed amateur until now. So over the years, what's happened? I was playing for the Wallabies 1 year when 7 Wallabies went to rugby league in 1 year. It used to happen every year, 3 Wallabies. Rugby league would just go, do you want some money? 1 year I got offered money by the Penrith Panthers. Gus Gould took over and didn't want me. Anyway, that's a side story, another story for another day. Oh, where are we now? Okay, so over the years, rugby league has stolen rugby union players, and it's been fine because they got rewarded for it. It's only since 1996 that rugby union has grabbed back some rugby league players, want him, and it's mainly been wingers. All right, everyone with me?
I'm with you.
So Melbourne Storm won the grand final last year. Their star winger, Vunivalu. Rugby union, because he's a Fijian boy, played rugby as a kid, he's decided he wanted to come back to rugby union. And you go, wow. He's played in the Melbourne Storm competition. He's a wonderful young man, full of good culture, etc. And you go, this is going to be tremendous. But before one match has even been played on the weekend, or this Friday night, the first match, okay? And you think, what has rugby league taught this young man, Vunivalu, to bring back to rugby? What is he going to bring?
Suliasi Vunivalu joined his Reds teammates for training tonight after being charged with common assault. The Reds standing by their star signing, saying this incident hasn't damaged the team
culture. Everything that it did for rugby league, and that's how we get paid back.
That was unbelievable. And that was the first edition of First Thought on
Sport. Now I know why you hate Phil Gould so much. The Big Breakfast, Triple M. Some CCTV footage, gentlemen, has come to light of a car at speed crashing into the front of a car park takeaway shop, Barnacle Bill's Fish and Chip Shop down in Adelaide.
Well, they tow you to get a feed into them.
it was at 11 o'clock at night. The CCTV footage by the owner shows a car just crashing through the front fence into the car park.
I saw it.
And out the other side of the fence.
Spectacular. Is that what that was?
It was spectacular.
I was going to say, when your number's called, your number's called. You got to get to the front of the line as quickly as possible. Stop mucking around.
Number 62. No, she wasn't there to order fish and chips, Blake. Oh. She was next door at the Bottle-O in the drive-thru. And she just picked herself up a little 11? Something, little cheeky nightcap.
What time did you say again?
11:30, the police were called to the event.
She'd overdone the budget and she's gone back, hasn't
she?
Yeah.
Well, she went and picked herself up something, but instead of hitting the brake, she's hit the accelerator and she's launched herself into the neighbour's property, which just happened to be a fish and chip shop.
Right. Mm. Interesting.
But she was described by the police as grossly intoxicated.
Of course.
So much so they couldn't actually do a reading, an alcohol reading on her.
What, she stopped reading?
It exploded.
She wasn't fit.
Well, that's why she was in the fish and chip shop. She was trying to get a feed to sober up. Yes. You know what I mean? She's trying to do the right thing by the community.
All that fat soaks it up. Hold on. So she's gone through the fence of the fish and chip shop into the next. So not only do you live behind a fish and chip shop and have to smell that stinking fat all day. Get a car launching at you.
That's exactly right. And there was a witness who lived next door who saw it all.
Yeah, I just saw a car leave the bottle shop, plough through the fence, took off through the next door neighbour's fence, Barnacle Bill's, straight into the next door neighbour's car and then into my car. It was just like really surreal. It was slow motion, but really, really fast, yeah.
She's gone through three fences and hit two cars.
Slow motion, but really, really fast would be... It was like normal speed.
Yeah.
like her eyes saw it. That's
slow motion, but
great
it was really
eyewitness.
Fast.
I'm sure she hadn't been to the Bottle-O as well.
Yeah, reports have said, well, it doesn't actually report that. I feel like Barnacle Bill should open a takeaway section in their fish and chop, like a drive-through, perhaps.
I was going to say, she's got one permanently installed. They're good to go. The Big Breakfast, Triple
M. Righto. We all know, even if you had a perfect parent, they did some weird things. I was thinking about my dad. Like, he was one of the great human beings, loved renoing our house, a hard worker, truck driver sometimes, nearly ran Golden Circle for a few years.
You don't need to pump him up to deflate his tyres.
Well, obviously I'm going to go, but whatever he did to our rumpus room / bar area when we lived in McDowell, he put cork on the walls, and polystyrene, about 400 by 400 ceiling tiles, polystyrene. Oh. It was like he was worried about us headbutting everything, and he just put everything was soft. It was bizarre.
How tall is your family?
Yeah, not tall enough to need polystyrene ceilings. It was just... Anyone else got cork walls?
You two were talking about goanna oil before. What is that?
My dad is obsessed with goanna oil. I still don't know where he gets it from.
The factory's out of Salisbury. Yeah. No, Salisbury, I think.
Everything as a kid, any ailment, you had a headache, you had goanna oil on you
the
time. Yeah, anything wrong with you, dad's got the goanna oil
out. Did he ever play footy, your dad?
Because, he did.
All right, it used to be popular liniment to rub in. That's what dressing rooms used to smell like, goanna oil.
Mine was...
Thank you.
Mine was calamine lotion, so not the goanna oil, but any time we had a sore or a mozzie bite or chicken pox, etc.
Was that powdery dry? It was powdery dry at the end of it.
Yeah, it was like a nudie sort of browny color, and you just end up looking like you'd gone to war with paint all over you.
It was before the internet, so if just one person, a neighbour, told them about a product, oh, that's me, because there was a thing called Rawley's ointment. My mum used to put on everything. It was a door to door. It was just weird. Hold on, did we got any from last week?
Yeah, here's a call from Weird. did things your parents did last week.
I've got four sisters. I'm the only boy, so I was constantly getting hand-me-downs. I was, I think it was grade five swimming carnival. Didn't have any togs, and my stepmother decided to convince me that my sister's bikini bottoms would suffice. The first person that saw me, like, oh, yeah, bikini bottoms.
That's one of the worst ever.
Was he the caller of the week for last week?
He
needed to be if he wasn't.
I hope that wasn't a G-string bottom. You know what I mean? It's too much.
Couple of scallops popping out.
Charles from Narangba's called through. He's got a keen. He's keen to tell a story about what his parents got up to as weirdos. Charles.
Yeah. G'day. It's Oh yeah. Well, I'm one of sort of eight kids, so I don't know what it was all about. But
busy parents.
Yeah. Same parents. All that. That was a bit weird in general. But we'd go to bed at night with a flu or a cold or whatever, right. And then the next morning we'd wake up and all of a sudden we got socks filled with chopped up onions.
Yeah.
All our armpits, under our necks, and we'd go to school stinking like onions.
She didn't slide the socks on. I have heard of that one, sliding them on your feet. She was sticking them under other limbs.
Oh, under armpits. Anywhere. Under your neck, mate. You just have them everywhere in your bed. Then, they just be everywhere.
Because they say onions draw bacteria. So you don't ever put a cut open onion in your crisper drawer because it then the bacteria gets on all your other veggies. So they say always keep it separate. But it's really good if you put a half cut onion beside your bed in your room when you're sick, the bacteria gets drawn to it. Your mum wasn't weird. She was a genius ahead of her time.
Are we sure?
Oh, mate. Yeah, I didn't feel very good at school, though.
No. Smelly. Charles, did you reckon it made you feel better, like you doing it with your kids now?
Nah, mate, I wouldn't do it to my kids, but...
why not?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was a method to the madness, mate. But,
yeah, try it.
Maybe that's what's wrong with our modern generation.
They
kids
say
today, not enough onions in their bed.
Brown onion juice in your ears for ear infections. Thank you. You'll thank me later. Damo from Redcliffe.
Oh, no, wait. Stop with Damo. Sorry, we'll thank you for what? Having onions in our ears?
I'm giving you great advice.
Is that what we're thanking you for?
If your kids get an ear infection or you get an ear infection, you put a little bit of brown onion and juice, a couple of drops, and it draws out the infection.
I'm not coming to your place for a barbie. Those onions? No, thanks.
My dad would disagree. He'd be like, goanna oil in your ear.
Sorry, Damo. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good yourselves.
Yeah, what weird things do they do?
Well, my old man used to stop at red lights when we were driving. He'll turn the car off, pull out the key and clean his ears out.
That's gross.
Was he smoking at the time, Damo?
No, he wasn't, but it was bad. You'd have to ask mum to come and pick you up. You'd get a girlfriend pick you up.
Just a build-up of earwax on the key.
Just maybe a rough ignition, you know what I mean? Just a waxy build-up in there.
Or maybe that's a good lubricant, the old earwax.
Oh, it actually would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Cleaning the whole system out. Maybe he was a genius.
Onions, again. Earwax, we've got so many geniuses.
Kieran from Samford.
Yeah, guys.
Weird things your parents did. We've heard about onions and earwax. What have you got?
Well, mine was, wasn't my mum, it was actually my grandmother. When I was living on the Gold Coast as a kid, if we had a wart, she'd bring a steak down.
This is good. Go,
Damo. Keep going, Kieran.
Oh, Kieran.
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 Come in,
we lost
Kieran.
Him.
Oh, we've lost him, but I thought you should tee up with the onion guy. Steak and onions, get it together.
Brilliant. Until Kieran comes back. I've got another good wart one, wart remedy that we used to do, banana peel.
And what?
Apparently you use the banana peel and rub it on the wart.
And what happens? It just disappears like an eraser.
Time. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Weird one, my ex-girlfriend used to do gold onto a wart, got rid of it apparently.
Is that a boil?
Maybe a boil?
Boil,
They
say if you have a boil, you rub it with a gold coin.
Back to Samford. Stye. Back to
Wouldn't
Kieran.
Wouldn't a gold coin give you more of an infection?
I think it's a stye.
When you're ready, Kieran's back with his steak and wart. Kieran?
Yeah, sorry guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so grandma would rub the steak on the wart. Then take it back to Brisbane where she'd bury it in the yard. So the spirit of the wart would not make it back to the Gold Coast and the wart would disappear.
Oh, so the
grandma.
Okay.
At least she didn't whack it on the barbecue.
And then make you eat it.
Can we investigate? And did the wart disappear?
Yeah, actually, it did. Funnily. Word.
There you go.
Wow, what a morning we've had.
Until the dog digs it up.
Yeah, that's right. He's got warts all over his head and tongue. It's
all right.
Horrible.
Kieran, might give you a couple of tickets to go to Trip the Switch Festival with Ice House, James Rain, The Angels and more. Saturday the 27th of February. Wow. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster. We've learned something in this edition of Weird Things Your Parents Did.
Yeah, when someone's phone drops out, don't go back to them.
Good point.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Brett Blake.
few friends of mine going, what's he like, this new comedian, Brett Blake? And I said, I'll ask him tomorrow morning. I'll tell you one of the defining questions. Are you a cat or dog guy?
Look, this is a very sensitive topic for me because I'm a dog man, but my girlfriend for Christmas, she wanted a cat.
Stop. There's only one answer to this question, really, isn't there, Marta? It's I'm a dog man, and then stop.
I'm a dog man.
You're a dog girl.
I wanted a dog. She wanted a cat, so we got a cat, all right? I'm trying to use the cat as leverage to get the staffy, you know?
Oh, you're going fur child cat to get to fur child dog.
To get to the dog. It's a long way around.
How long have you been together?
Oh, about 2 years now.
Did you get a plant first? Generally, that's where you start.
Yeah, and that died. So hopefully the cat's still alive.
Here's the things to come.
She convinced me. She goes, you know, cats are amazing. They do everything. They're self-cleaning. They're helpful. They get rid of rodents. Oh. So far, that cat has weed the bed more times than me after 17 cans. Right, and you never believe the other day. She goes, you wouldn't believe what Merv's done. Merv's done the most amazing thing.
Hold on, cat's name's Merv.
Cat's name's Merv. I love an old man name on an animal.
After Husey? After Merv Hughes?
No. After her granddad, which is quite nice.
Is it?
did he wet the bed quite a bit, her grandfather?
Look, everyone wets themselves at our house.
Grandpa's
I'm that funny.
Back as a cat.
But the other day she goes, man, the cat's so useful. Look what it did. Oh. And it's dragged in a dead rat.
A mouse, yeah.
She goes, look, he's pulling his weight already.
That's good, though,
dragged
mate.
In a dead rat.
You can't argue with that.
You can't argue with that, but I can, actually, because what I didn't tell her was that rat has been dead for about 3 days outside, and I was just too lazy to chuck it in the bin.
Pick it up.
So I just haven't confessed.
Well, the cat did come in handy for you. You didn't have to put it in the bin. The cat
put it in my bed, not the bin. That's the problem.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Guys, when you're a little kid, you know, sometimes you have the thought of wanting to run away from home. Like there's, you know, the grass is always greener out the other side. And it could be just because your mum yelled at you or your dad got mad at you for not picking toys up. Yeah, I walked to the end of the street one day and thought I was going to get on a bus and go somewhere fabulous and realised there was no buses coming.
Away, is
I turned
that right?
around and walked back.
I got banned from The Simpsons and I was like, see ya, I'm out of here. Went I'm down out. To the creek for about 5 minutes and then it was dinner time so I came
there's
home.
There's no food down there.
Yeah,
there's nothing. No TV there.
Just trolleys in the creek, that's it.
And sometimes it can be The Simpsons or it can be getting in trouble by your mum. Sometimes it can be a song that inspires you.
Eric Burdon, you've got to get out of this place, that song. And it was like, that became my mantra, you know. I got to go at 11 years old. That was my song.
Who are we talking about? That's a very old song.
Well, she ran away from home. She was inspired by that song. She's like, I've got to get out of this place. I don't like it. So where do you go when you're 15 years old and you want to get out of this place?
At 15, Tana ran away to a music festival in Nimbin.
It was my first encounter of seeing the power of music over people. It's like, oh, wow, all these other people are feeling the same thing. So I felt like I belonged.
They're all feeling high. That's what they're feeling in Nimbin.
I was going to say first encounter of power of music and power of drugs.
Can I check? I don't know where this has come from. I don't care. But she ran away to Nimbin. Did she ever come back from
Nimbin? She went
to
a music festival in Nimbin.
Like an Aquarius or the Mardi Gras or something.
No, she didn't come back, Marto.
Tana started going to gigs and became fascinated by the road crew travelling with the bands. Before long, she'd landed her first gig as a roadie.
She became a roadie, a long-life roadie. She's never gone back and she's been engrossed in the music industry ever since. And we know that music is a powerful thing. We play plenty of it here at Triple M and it can uplift you, it can inspire you, it can, you know, take you all through sorts of emotions. When you're feeling a bit down, you know, you put a song on and makes you feel better. Or sometimes I just put songs on that I know are going to make me feel sad.
She's just
cry.
She's the first person who went to Nimbin and came back with a job. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Normally the other way. You're unemployed.
How bad was her home life that you'd go run away from home to become a roadie?
I mean, I don't know.
Tough life.
1-3-3-5-3. When did you run away from home and what happened? I didn't get very far. I got to the end of the street, turned around and went back and lived a lovely little life. This lady, she went to Nimbin. She never returned home. She became a roadie.
I ran away from home.
Did you never?
No.
Just pretend or threaten it or say, you don't love me anymore. I'm going somewhere else.
No, I was invisible.
Well, I was driving home last year and there were two kids parked out the front of their place with their backpacks. And I know their mother. And so I texted her and said, what's going on? The kids are out the front with their backpacks. She goes, yeah, they're running away. I was like, oh, good, okay. So I don't need to.
Did they make it past the letterbox though?
No. I think the front of the house is as far as they got.
I tell you what, as a foster parent for a number of years, don't they love running away? Because they've done it to everyone else. Oh yeah, they use it as a threat.
That's sad.
They're like, see ya, you're coming back at 6 p.m. for dinner.
They come back pretty quickly.
I should have stipulated before we went to calls that. Like, just make them light-hearted, funny ones. Like, I got to the end of the street and I got hungry, so I came home. Jono from Capalabar, is that what happened when you ran away from home?
No, I made it all the way to Parks.
Where were you when you ran?
I lived at Capalabar, but obviously I'd had enough of this area.
Yeah.
I went to the Mount Gravatt show once, the circus at Mount Gravatt.
Hold on.
And I had a board to apply within, so I applied within and I got the job of operating the clowns. Yeah, well, you put the ball in the mouth.
Yeah, you became a carny.
I drove all the way to Parks. Hey. I stayed 2 days. They fed me out of a door with baked beans. And I just thought, this isn't for me, so
that's
I hitched all the way back home.
You hitched all the
way
home.
And you're still in Capalabar. The grass wasn't greener, was it, Jono?
No, it wasn't. No way in the world.
You weren't there on there long enough with them to lose your teeth?
No, 2 days was enough for me. Yeah.
Still got them all.
Jono, I can't rock up to the circus because with this mullet, I get too many questions. People assume I work there.
Kylie from Melbourne Park. Hey, did you run away from home or do you have a child that attempted?
No, I constantly ran away from home when I was a child. The best one I've got is I hid 4 hours down underneath our house in the boat. And watched my mum and my grandmother drive in and out looking for me.
Oh, that's terrible. And they had the whole neighbourhood, I bet, looking
for you.
Kylie!
Yeah, I don't know. I would just pop my head up every now and again. It's like, oh, there they go again. Bye.
What was the main reason why you ran away? Like, how god-awful were your parents?
Just couldn't get my own way.
Couldn't get your own way.
I wanted to do something. They said no. I'd run away.
What age
I hid on the roof. Like, we had a two-story house. I hid on the roof. Terrible. Shocking.
What age did it start, Kylie?
14.
14. And how long did it last for?
Till I was about 16.
Yeah. A couple of years.
Okay. You got your own kids now, Kylie?
Yeah. And? When they threaten to run away, it's like, don't forget your toothbrush.
Yeah, here you go. See you later. I'll
get
pack your lunch.
Yeah, hey, Kylie, we're going to give you a couple of tickets to go see Baby Animals, their 30th anniversary tour with special guest Kingswood playing the Triffid. Friday, June 25. Tickets on sale now at babyanimals.com.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, let's sort out another problem. Sporting fees, especially kids' sports.
Lord.
Yep, it's been sign-on day, a week or two ago. They're expensive. Not everyone can afford to sign their kid up to sport. We want to help you.
Yeah, we're after junior netballers, AFL players, union and league stars because we're joining with our partners here at Triple M and the Big Breakfast, the Queensland Reds, the Brisbane Lions, the Queensland Firebirds and the Gold Coast Titan pay the fees for budding sports stars.
So
I love this.
It's not just you. If you go, oh, my God, I can't believe it's that much, with $350, $500, whatever. You know how much it is. But there might be people who are going, well, we can't even think about sport for our kids. And
it's not an option.
What you think what it did for you as you were growing up. So if you're needing help, head to the Triple M Win page, or if you know someone who needs help, and that's triplem.com.au, then when you get there, you go onto the Win page, okay?
Enter all your details.
Tell us your story, and we're going to help you out with those fees. So if you know somebody who's doing it tough and they couldn't enroll their kid in, as we said, netball or footy, one of the codes, give us a hoy.
Yeah, triplem.com.au. Tell us your story. And next week, we could be giving you a call and we're going to pay your fees.
Margo, you mentioned some of the great teams here in Brisbane that are getting behind this. We'll just mention Brisbane Lions. They came close last year. Get around them this year. The Brisbane Lions are proud to support grassroots footy. Be proud to say, I am Lion. Membership.lions.com.au.
That is it for today's show.
I'm like a cat.
Turn your lights on, any painter.
Yeah, turn your lights on.
Turn your lights on.
Calm your farm and just relax. You're only going to work. You're only going to work. There's no rush. You don't be in a hurry to get to work. Just calm down.
Turn your lights on, and if you missed any of the show, grab the podcast on the Triple M app. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's another Big Breakfast done and dusted.
God, you do so much for this town.
Triple M.
Triple M.